Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Whenever we do like that pre-start silence bit, I've always got like a very animated like jingle playing in my head. And it doesn't it doesn't appear at any other time. Just in my head, it's always like a
like jazz, snazzy intermission music.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Yeah.
I always just feel dumb sat here like holding the microphone like a little kid with an ice cream.
Wow, it's a big black ice cream.
It's black. It's black and blue. And with a sticker of Woody from Toy Story on it. And that's not a weird joke. That actually is what the microphone I'm holding looks like.
Yeah, mine has Bo Peep on.
Yeah.
I put them on there so we could just distinguish between them, I guess.
I think Woody is probably the sort of animated character that I identify with most.
Yeah, I had no doubt that that was you when I was peeling the stickers.
And same with you and Bo Peep.
Yeah. Actually, right. And I think, actually, though, if we were Woody and Buzz, I think I would be Woody and you'd be Buzz.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because I think Buzz is, like, the logical, skeptical, like...
Is he? I don't know. I think Woody is that, and Buzz is the one with high-flying fantasies.
I don't think so.
Well, he believes he's a real astronaut and can fly in the first
Yeah, but one. I mean, he's a man of his convictions. He's very much like... He only believes he's a man he can fly because he doesn't know any better, you know? Whereas Woody's a lot more like emotional and like stressy and like erratic and stuff. And
I think, guess he is.
Yeah. I mean, if we were really getting serious, I'd probably be that weird fucking spider baby that was in like... Anyway, we're not here to talk about Pixar.
No.
We're here to talk about another media giant, Harry Potter.
Yes.
And the... what were we doing?
Where's that? I think we've
That's
already...
That's it, and the cup of hot. There we go.
Yes.
Oh, what a glorious book where he has to take part in that, is it the Olympics?
Yeah.
And he can't do the long jump. Every time he gets to the bit of sand, he thinks about his parents and falls down. Alas, don't think about your parents when you're doing an Olympic sport.
Especially if they're dead.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I think we've already worn each other down somewhat.
Yeah, me and Tom are busy being friends before we started recording.
Yeah, he gifted and got here like an hour and a half ago to start recording the episode. We literally spent the last hour and a half talking about, I mean, what?
Just things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all right, we're here to talk about what really matters.
Yes, Harry Ron. Potter and his hot, and his hot cups.
It's like, Ron, look what I got. Just a tray of mugs with boiling water. But he's like, look, Ron, look. And Ron's like, what? Look, they're all hot. Oh, God.
It's my hot cups, Ron. And we can make a book out of this.
Look, me and my hot cups. Chapter one, the cups were hot.
Chapter two, they've cooled slightly, but they're not quite warm enough to drink yet.
Chapter 3, oh wait, now they're cold. Chapter 4, Harry kills himself. Everyone's like, yes, I love it. I can see the theme park now, Harry. Mostly log rides. Yeah, so we're continuing on. We're getting so close to the end.
Yeah.
It's come around really quick, it feels.
37 chapters, I think, in this book.
So we're 10 chapters away from finishing.
Yeah.
I feel sad.
Well, I mean, I guess 11 at the moment.
That's true, yeah.
And then by the end of this chapter, we'll be 8 chapters away.
God, that's what, like 2 and a bit episodes? 3 episodes then.
Yeah, it's 3 episodes. One of them's going to have 2 chapters.
Yeah, I can't remember which ones we said were going to be.
We did have quite a lengthy discussion about which one, which two chapter episode we were going to do, and I've forgotten all of that conversation because we didn't record it anyway.
Oh god, I guess we'll just see what happens.
We'll just bloody see what happens, mate.
Oh god. All right. So let's begin.
Chapter 27 is called Padfoot Returns.
Padfoot Returns.
Thank you.
Oh god, and he has his own like theme tune thing. And it's like this like this dog just like wandering across like Highland like moors. It's like Padfoot Returns back to the beginning. Padfoot returns. He's no more sinning. He didn't kill that rat. He's not wearing a hat because he's a dog.
Jesus Christ. All right, how many characters have we got theme tunes for now?
Not enough, in my opinion.
No, really.
Hermione does have her own theme tune, but it's all in German, so I don't know the words. Oh, dear. So, sorry, I just read the first sentence I wrote down and was like, what the fuck does that mean? Because I'd forgotten. But it's Ron retelling the story of what happened to him in the lake.
Yeah, Ron's full of shit, basically.
Because the first time he tells it how it happened, then each time after he like keeps like embellishing it, and it gets to the point where he like fought off like a band of like mermen or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Hermione's like, oh, what did you do? Snore at them?
Yeah, you were fucking asleep, Ron. Harry, on the other hand, he rescued everybody. And I was like, oh, maybe Vitus had a scar as well.
Yeah.
She's like, no, Ron, your red hair's enough.
Like a scar would be overkill. I mean, if you want to try it, I can give you one.
Yes. Actually, let me give you one right now. Ron's like, Hermione, this feels weird. I feel like you're doing too many points to this. She's like, shh, Ron, it's okay. I have my own special sign. So Sirius sends them, well, not them, he sends Harry and Owl, telling them to, on the day, the next Hogsmeade trip, to go to the end, to the stile that's at, on the corner of Dervish and Bangs in Hogsmeade, and bring lots of food.
What's Dervish and Bangs? What do they do?
I don't know, actually.
No, me neither.
Dervish and Bangs.
Like a whirling dervish. That's a thing, isn't
What's
it?
What's a dervish?
Like when you swing something round and round in a circle and kill everyone in that vicinity. So Dermish, I think that's what that word is. Okay.
Fucking hell. Tom has a knowledge of murder that I was not previously aware of.
Oh, no, it is dervish.
Yeah, and it's that when you swing something round in a circle and kill people.
No, it's just swinging round in a circle.
So dervish and bangs.
Oh, it actually comes from a dance.
Oh. Maybe it's a dance studio.
Dervish and bangs. Yeah. Have a nice dance and then slip off to the back.
Yeah. You don't know if you're going to get a fringe or get done in the bumhole. It's not a lucrative business, but...
No. No time for innuendo either. Just done in the bumhole.
Can you imagine if that's what the original name was? Well, we've only had three customers this week, and all of them have written their name as Smalbus Bumbledore. So they go to Potions, and like they hear like the Slytherins like snickering and looking at them in the corner, and then Pansy throws a magazine at Hermione.
Yeah, which is Witch Weekly. And I thought they always hear these things from the Slytherins, don't they?
Yeah, it's just kind of like Hermione sort of raises her complaint about that
later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Rita Skeeter has written an article saying how Hermione is basically caught in how Harry is caught in a love triangle with Hermione and Crumb.
Yeah, how Harry thought he had found solace in his long-term girlfriend, Hermione Granger. Mm. But she, one famous wizard wasn't enough for her, and she has won the affections of Victor Crumb, leaving Harry heartbroken and...
forlorn.
Forlorn.
Yeah, and Ron's like...
he says they've made you out to be some sort of Scarlet Woman.
And Hermione's like, what? And he's like, oh, that's what my mum calls him. God, and then like Hermione's just like, ugh, don't be ridiculous, Ron. This is all tosh and wobble and whatever it is.
All tosh and wobble and piffle and vinegar.
This is all fish and chips, Ron.
This is all saveloy and mushy peas.
This is all Hall and Oates, okay? Oh, God. And she fucking, like...
I'm going to use that. Got a bunch of Hall and Oates.
Further down in the article, Rita goes, yeah, Crumb, who invited Miss Granger to spend the summer with him, something, something. And then Hermione's like, how the fuck did she know that?
Yeah.
And then Harry's like, what? And then Hermione's like, Crumb told me that, like, over in the corner somewhere, and there was no one else around. How did she know that he said that to me?
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, and he did say he'd never felt this way about another girl, and then she blushes, and then Ron does something. And Snape fucking takes 20 points off them for fucking, one, for reading a magazine in class, and two, for discussing their social life.
Yeah. Well, Snape's obviously a wanker, and then he picks up the magazine and reads the article aloud with pauses for laughs from the Slytherins. Such an utter cunt.
I had a science teacher who would, if anyone's passing a note in class, he would just pick it up and read it out loud straight away.
Yeah.
And one time he did it to me, I just written like some like song lyrics like on it and passed it to my friend as a joke. But we often used to pass notes about our crushes in class.
And to be fair, like, I probably would if I was a teacher. Teach him a lesson. But this is not like their fault. This is an article that's been written in a magazine about them that is like slanderous.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be reading in class.
Well, no, but I wouldn't read it out for the entertainment of the class in this instance. But if I was a teacher and I saw students like writing notes and passing them to each other, I probably would.
I think that's worse.
Really?
Far worse, because what's...
Well, it's worse for the student, but it's entirely their fault, so they need punishing for it.
Yeah, but so he's bringing out the magazine in class.
Well, they didn't bring it.
But they
are... The Slytherins gave it to them.
Yeah, but they're perusing.
Well, yeah, but how can they be expected not to?
How can you be expected not to pass notes in class?
Easily.
Yeah, but I need to talk about things, John. So Snape, like, splits them all up, and then when Harry's on his own, he leans forward and he's like,
I love the idea of Snape being someone who like
can I have a word? So I was like lying awake last night and I thought to myself, I bet it was Harry who was in my office the other day. And then I thought, no, do you know what? I know it was you because you left your underpants there. I'd recognize that stain anyway.
It's in the shape of a lightning bolt.
Maybe consider changing them out every so often because it was stiff as a fucking ironing board. But yeah, he's like, boom, slang skin, lace, wings,
gillyweed,
fly, whatever it's called, gillyweed, some Tic Tacs.
My special pills.
Don't worry, they're a special muggle pill called Viagra. I take them just in case an opportunity arises.
So I'm always ready.
Unfortunately, one has not presented itself yet. But I live in hope, Harry. I live in hope. Sometimes I just draw a picture of your mother on the wall. Blast a hole in the fanny and go pop, pop, pop. Then after I finish, I say reparo, and no one knows anything different. And Harry's just like looking up at him, like his pestle, like frozen in his hand, like, what?
Yes, Potter.
Oh, Haru, I tried to have a go when she died. I had 3 glorious minutes before anyone arrived. But the rigor mortis had already set in and it was like a clamp down there. And Harry's just like, oh my God, oh my God. Snape's like, 10 points to Slytherin. Oh, God. And then Harry's like, that doesn't happen. Harry's like, look, I wasn't in your fucking store cupboard. And Miss Snape's like, don't lie to me. And Harry's like, I'm not lying. And then what else happens?
And then Karkaroff comes in.
That's it. Yeah. And he's like, oh, you do a good Karkaroff voice.
Do I?
I mean, will you do a good all the voices? Is he?
Like, Snape, I need to talk to you.
That was good. See, look at you.
Oh, thanks, mate.
And Miss Snape's like, oh, no.
He's like, yes, now. It is getting stronger.
And Snape's like, have you been taking my pills?
It won't go down.
Then he's like, look. And Snape's like, put it away. Which he actually does say.
Yeah.
And Harry is like,
I can't, Snape.
It's just so turgid. But yeah, so Harry sort of like, he ducks down behind a table at the end of the lesson, pretend he's cleaning up something so he can overhear what they're saying. And Karkaroff is basically like, yeah, like he's getting stronger, like look, see. And then Snape's like, put it away. And then Harry's like, what the fuck was that about? And then he goes.
Yeah. Yeah, so like Snape sees him and he's like, Potter, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just tidying up my whatever the fuck he was, shows them the wet rag he was clue. Oh yeah, it's never been this clear, something
Karkaroff
says. Yeah,
not since. And then Snape like cuts him off.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that night. Nope. Even though I told Harry all about it just now. Karkaroff's like, ah, yes, I remember.
I was there, you know.
I was trying my best with James downstairs. Unlike in your situation, rigor mortis was not a problem. It was a benefit to the situation. Yeah. And then the next day, they go down to Hogsmeade because they want to have their little meeting with Sirius.
Yeah. They buy a load of socks for Dobby as well.
Yeah. How many do they buy? It's not as much as they said they were going to buy.
No.
But they bought 2 pairs.
They buy a few, like the most sort of, you know, wild out there socks they can find for him to mix and match.
I mean, they don't need to buy much. He doesn't live much longer.
I mean, he lives another, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time to wear in a few socks.
I guess so. Probably by that point, they would start getting holes in.
Mm.
And Mitchell was like, will you buy Dobby some more, sir? And he's like, I don't really think it's worth it. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I'll bury you in a new pair. How does that sound? In fact, I'll just stretch a sock around your corpse. And so it's like a little sock cocoon.
Seeing as you fucking love them so yeah. much.
I'll stuff one in every orifice. And
he died as he lived.
Yeah.
A sock stuffer.
I'll put a little special sock over your little peepee and so you'll be warm always. And Dobby's like, oh, he knew of Master's benevolence. Yeah, and then they go down to the stile at the end of the lane. And I couldn't remember, is the stile the thing that's like the plank of wood that's suspended in between the fence?
I think so.
Okay.
Because a one that like rotates is a turnstile, is it?
Yeah. But that's a metal contraption, right?
It's a different thing entirely, isn't it?
Yeah.
So why did I bring it up?
I don't know. I guess they both have style in the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harry Styles.
He's a fucking ex-boy band wanker who thinks he's Mick Jagger and he's not. That's what I think.
Wow.
I can't stand that boy. I'm sorry to any One Direction fans who are listening to this.
Oh, shit. I don't know anything about him. I just brought him up because his name has style in it.
He just thinks he's so fucking cool and he's not. He's such a poser.
Yeah.
It's so forced. And it angers me so much whenever I see him. There's nothing organic about the way he presents himself at all. It's so, like, contrived and... like
ooh, yeah. Scathing. Scathing I'm sorry, reviews. Harry Styles. You've been gifted. Or gifted.
He's been gifted. I like that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, it sounds nice, but it's not. Oh, God. Anyway, By the Style is a little fucking dog. Although he's not little at all, really. He's fucking massive.
He's a massive fuck-off dog.
Yeah. A fog, if you will.
Yes. He leads them over to the foot of a mountain, and he starts climbing up the side of it and leads them all the way up to his hideout.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a mountainous area, but that took me by surprise for some reason.
Yeah, a lot of mountains up that way.
Yeah, I just didn't, I never sort of thought of it before. And I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like yeah. It's, you know, yeah, and they go into like a little nook of a mountain and he's got a little fucking cave there and Buckbeak's in there. Must be a pretty big cave then.
Yeah. Maybe yeah. It's more than a nook.
Yeah, like it's more of a cranny.
Can you? Yeah, you can't really have the word cranny without being preceded by nooks and.
I mean, I think that's our new thing now.
It's a nice little cranny, isn't it?
Sirius explains why he's there. Because Harry's like, why are you here? And he's like, I'm here because...
Exposition.
I'm here because a writer made me. No, he's like, look, ever since the shit started to go down, I wanted to be like at least near you just so I can keep an eye on what's going on.
Yeah, and he starts to tell them about Crouch and his history.
Yeah, because there's like a Daily Prophet in there that Sirius has been stealing from, like, if anyone throws it away, and it has an article on Crouch's mystery illness.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, do you know Mr. Crouch? He's like, oh, yes. I know Crouch.
Yes.
He's the one who sent me to Azkaban without a trial.
And mine's like, without a trial? And he's like, that's what I just said.
Without a trial? Yes.
I like the sound of that. Like, don't be getting any ideas, young wizard.
Without a trial?
Yeah. I see that mark you've etched into Ron's forehead.
We reference that so much. We get a lot of new listeners per episode and no one knows what we're talking about.
I'm more doing it for my own personal like amusement. Yeah, because about his illness and stuff, and Hermione's like, well, he's probably just getting his comeuppance for sacking Winky. And then Ron's like, oh, yeah, Hermione's got this whole fucking crusade to save the house elves. And then he's like, yeah, she was horrible to him at the World Cup. And Sirius is like, what?
She was horrible to him.
Sorry, he was horrible to her at the World Cup. Yeah. And then they sort of explain all what happened at the World Cup. And then she says something, and then Sirius is like, it seems to me like Hermione has a better measure of him than you do, Harry.
Yeah, and then he says Sirius's most quoted line.
Yeah. Which right now has escaped me.
Me too.
If you want to know the measure of a man... judging by the way he treats his inferiors and not his equals.
Yeah.
And I think that's so fucking true.
It is.
Like, if you look at most situations where someone has some amount of power or privilege, look at the way that they talk to people who are, like, economically or socially inferior to them.
Mm.
And you'll see what their character is like, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kick him to the curb and walk on by.
That's what I knew. They told me to anger. Sirius yeah. Sort of kind of tries to come up with what happened at the World Cup, like behind the scenes. He's like, so Harry, do you think maybe someone in the box could have taken your wand and not the ejector in your thing? And Harry's like, oh, I never thought about that.
Sirius starts pondering Crouch's behaviour, and he tells them about Crouch's history. He says he was ruthless in his ascent through the ranks at the Ministry, sent many Death Eaters down without a trial, authorised the use of unforgivable curses on to extract information from Death Eaters. Lots of people condemned his methods, but lots of people were in favour of it. He was next in line to be Minister, but then...
he's...
shame.
Yeah. Oh, the shame! Yeah. Thought of changing his name, but he got downhearted every time that he pumba
not in front of the kids.
Ha 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 ha. Oh my god.
Yes, film reference.
You should see how elated Tom looks right now that he can join in. But yeah, his fucking son was caught in the company of a bunch of Death Eaters, and one of them is like, what? So he was one of them. And then he was like, well, maybe he just was caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, but the others were definitely Death Eaters. And
yes.
And Crouch sent him to fucking Azkaban.
Yeah, he gave his own son a trial, but mostly so he could just show how much contempt he had for the boy.
Then
yeah.
Not long after, the son went to prison, his wife died, and then his son died as well. Or so it
is. Yes. Yeah, he says the Dementors buried his body outside in the grounds, and Sirius watched them do it.
And I was going to make a note about this, because I was like, hold on a minute. But then I sort of worked through it in my head and was like, I know it does. I can see how this worked without any problems then.
Yeah, because I can't remember which body they buried.
They buried his wife. So his wife's last request was to get the son out of Azkaban. So him and his wife went to visit. They polyjuice potioned each other. So Junior turned into his wife and his wife turned into Junior. And then, so she stayed in Azkaban until her death, which was like really shortly after she went there. And then the Dementors buried her body. Then I was like, well, how come they didn't recognize that the body had, like, turned back into the wife?
Well, Dementors can't see,
yeah,
can they?
Exactly. That's why I was like, oh, because then later on in the book, Crouch is explaining what happened. He's like, the Dementors felt one sick person arriving and one sick person going. That's why we was able to do it, because he was in really ill health, because obviously he was in Azkaban. So he was really ill and frail, and so was the wife.
Yeah.
So they,
that's it, because you know, Sirius says that the wife dies after the son dies. Yeah. Which is how it would have appeared from the outside, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so Barty Crouch's wife is buried in the grounds of Azkaban, not Barty Crouch Jr., like everyone thinks. Well, not everyone, like everyone apart from Crouch thinks. Sorry.
That sounded like, for some reason, like that bit of information like aroused me beyond belief.
But yeah, Sirius doesn't know like why Crouch would be sneaking into Snape's office. You can't make any sense out of that.
Yeah, and he talks about Snape being a possible Death Eater as well.
Yeah, and they argue for a bit about how Dumbledore trusts Snape.
And then he ponders what Crouch has been doing this entire time then.
Yeah.
And then they have to go very soon after arriving, which I thought, well, why?
Well, they have quite a lengthy discussion.
I mean, it didn't take that long.
Well, no, but you know.
They should have just stayed and kept in company for a little while. He sort of like ushers them out. He's like, oh, well, guys, you know. Yeah, it's
Oh, time to be hitting the old dusty trail.
And then he's like, whenever you are in public, refer to me as Snuffles.
Yep.
Don't wander around in unsafe places or something. He just gives Harry various like sayings of warning.
Yeah.
Don't wander around in public.
Don't pee on electric fences.
Yeah, be kind to your neighbours. Don't eat yellow snow.
Don't microwave a watermelon before you. It's hotter on the inside than you think.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if you want any tips on that, go to Dumbledore.
He told me everything I know. He's a great man, Dumbledore.
Yeah, great man. Wouldn't know how to fly.
Oh, God. Then they all fuck off.
They all fuck off.
And then we go to chapter 28, The Madness of Mr. Crouch.
Oh, God.
The Madness of Mr. Crouch.
Crouch. What's that?
Crouch. Let me try that again. Right. Chapter 28, The Madness of Mr. Crouch.
That was marginally better.
Yeah, thank you. They're in the kitchens again.
Well, first they send an owl to Percy.
Why?
To
ask him about Mr. Crouch.
Yeah, wow. Ask him if he's actually seen Mr. Crouch. Then they go into the kitchen, they give Dobby his socks, and Dobby gets all fucking moist and down on his knees.
Can you imagine if, like, male house elves for some reason just had vaginas, and the opposite as well? Like, female ones had penises?
Well, then wouldn't be male and female.
I guess so.
I suppose it depends who carries the child. No, it depends who produces the ovum and who produces the sperm.
Yeah, so imagine if the elf vag then just expelled like the sperm then in like this massive gush, and then it had to like work its way down like the urethra of the female house elf and her erect penis to find like the eggs that were inside the testicles. And then the baby grew inside like that whole area, so she looked like she just had like this like weird like extra bum growing. And then when it was time to give birth, she like pooped it out of the bum hole.
That was such an unnecessary thought experiment. You started that as if it was going to be this exciting thing. Oh my god, can you imagine if this happened?
You said the dummy got moist and then my mind just went there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for god's sake, right.
Or maybe they like vom the baby up.
Yeah.
Like their jaws unhinge and then this like sack comes out of their mouth that's the baby. Fucking hell.
That's intense, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess it's not any more horrendous than what actually happens.
If anything, it's less so.
Yeah, because your esophagus can probably stretch a lot easier than a cervix can. I think that's true. Well, not easier, but less pain.
Not to the size of a baby.
Yeah, but a house elf baby is probably very small.
I guess so. I think if you're a human, because it's not only your esophagus that would have to stretch, it's all everything, all your tendons and everything that makes up your neck.
Yeah, most people just have to end up having their fucking like chest cavity broken open and the baby fished out. Get me some forceps and a defibrillator.
Forceps and a fishing rod.
Get me some forceps, a fishing rod, and a Mini Cooper. Fine, I'll take the speedboat. Winky's fucking sitting by the fire.
Oh, covered in shit.
Yeah, I put Winky is a drunkard and has fallen into disrepair.
She has fallen into disrepair.
God, yeah.
They tell her that Crouch has stopped turning up to judge the Triwizard Tournament, and that they're saying he's ill, and Winky gets all set upset because Crouch needs his Winky and she's not there.
Yeah. Crouch does need his Winky.
He does need his Winky. It's a joke we've already made, but I thought it might be worth revisiting.
Yeah, and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with her? And then Dobby's like, yeah, she's been drinking four or five bottles of butterbeer a day. And Ron's like, that's not very strong though. And he's like, oh, but for a house elf it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, so it does have alcohol in it then.
Yeah.
Must be like a shandy, I guess. They're saying, look, do you know why Crouch might be ill, Winky? And she's like, no, Winky keeps her master's secrets, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, she hints that Crouch has secrets that Winky's keeping, and she's not giving it up.
And I thought it was really reckless of Crouch to dismiss her then, really, because she could have been free to tell all the secrets if she wanted to.
If he was going to dismiss her, he should really have killed her.
Yeah.
That would have been the responsible thing.
Yeah. It should have been like, this means clothes. It should have been like, this means I need to take you over here. come. They go around a tree. You see like a flashing green light. And then he comes back and they're like, where's your house elf? And he's like,
what house elf?
Yes. I've never had a house elf. That was all in your mind, Harry. And then they show him like a picture of him and Winky on holiday. But he's like, oh, yes, that house elf.
Oh, I killed her.
Yes, our fucking dead body's behind that tree.
Sorry, I just immediately removed it from my memory.
She was something significant. I completely forgot. Wow, what could happen in 30 seconds, eh? Let's tie strings around our hands. We can lose it like a little marionette. Master needs his Winky.
Ha 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 ha!
God. Sorry. That doesn't happen.
No.
Yeah, but she does say, look, I'm not going to tell you anything. And then she fucking falls asleep. And yeah. She crashes on the floor.
Yep. They get a bunch of extra food for Sirius.
Yeah, and the kitchen elves be like, look, can you please not judge us all by Winky's example?
Yeah.
But her mind's like, but don't you see she's upset and stuff? You guys shouldn't be treated like this, blah, 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 blah.
It's not a house elf's place to be upset when there's work to be done and masters to be served.
And then she's like, masters to be served, you say? Okay, guys, I'm going to show you this walk. Let me see if you can do it. She's like, perfect. Yes, I learned this from an Italian chap. But yeah, the house...
Sorry, if you're new to this episode, sorry about all these weird Hermione jokes that don't make any sense.
So they shove food into their hands and tell them to get the fuck out, and they all leave.
Yeah, Harry's sick of Ron and Hermione bickering all the way back up to the common room.
Ron's like, see, now look what you've done, Hermione. They're never going to give us food again now.
Yeah, and Harry gets sick of their bullshit and decides to go and send Sirius's food package off by himself. So he heads up to the owlery.
He sends him a fucking ham.
Yeah.
That's a lot for an owl to carry.
Well, he does enlist two school barn owls
does
to help.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, I missed that. Sorry.
And he's not super keen to go back to the common room where Ron and Hermione are just bickering at each other still. So he perches himself at the window and sees Hagrid outside digging something.
And he's like, oh, he wouldn't hurt a fly, you wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah, what is he digging?
The Niffler thing, probably, right?
Of course. Yeah, that's definitely it.
Which we'll come to in just a little while.
Yeah, and then Maxime fucking comes over and Hagrid, like, does he look like he's saying something to her and then she walks away again or something?
Looks like he's not particularly interested in conversing with her and then she walks away.
Yeah, I feel it's really sad that this had to happen.
The next morning at breakfast, it turns out Hermione has taken out subscriptions to magazines and newspapers because she's sick of hearing everything from the Slytherins.
I don't think... Wasn't it just the Daily Prophet she got a...
Oh, maybe it was,
but,
yeah.
Oh, no, but did she already have a
Daily Prophet? I don't know, but I sort of tuned back in at the point where Ron was going, how many subscriptions did you take out, Hermione?
She's like, well, I've recently got interested in a lot more magazines.
In a certain type of literature.
Yeah, this one's out of print, Ron. How rare. How rare and special. Everyone's like, can I read it? And she's like, no. I tell you what, though, I'm having this meeting later on today. If you'd like to attend that.
You could bring the rest of your family.
Yes. Yes, you leave all your belongings at the door. Oh, dear. What she thinks is magazines that she's getting... is actually letters from disgruntled readers of Witch Weekly. And they start opening them. And then the first one they read is from, I think someone from, is it from where Crumb's from? Or do they not specify where it's from? It's because it's like a foreign wizard who's tried to write in English.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's like something Hermione did. Hermione, you have been doing Harry Potter bad. You are a wicked woman or something like that.
Yeah.
So one of them says that. Maybe one of them is that one. And then the last one she opens has booba tuba pus in it.
Yeah, and it gets all on her hands. See it like industrial envelope there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's so true.
How did they get it in there?
So yeah, she gets it all on her hands and she has to go to the hospital wings. They have to go to Care of Magical Creatures without her.
Yeah, and the Care of Magical Creatures lesson is Nifflers. Little Nifflers. Little tiny Nifflers.
Have you seen Fantastic Beasts?
No.
So one of the only good bits of that movie is that they like render a Niffler and it's ultra, ultra cute. And the way its magic works is pretty special because it's still shit. Like there's one bit where they find it, it's gotten loose and they find it in like a jewellery shop. And so he, like, Accios it out. And then he, like, turns it upside down and, like, shakes it. And, like, fucking mountains of gold and, like, diamonds, like, fall out of its, like, belly pouch. Like, an impossible amount.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool, I think. They look like little moles crossed with, like, a duckbill platypus, I'd say. So they're very cute looking. So yeah, Hagrid's brought a load of Nifflers and he's like, all right, I buried gold in these grounds here.
These are grounds here.
Yeah. Ignore the very large patch of dirt over to my right.
Yeah, that's not part of the lesson. Yeah.
Don't worry, I've stripped all the gold from it. The Niffler won't go near it. Yeah. Unless she had secret gold hidden somewhere else. It's like, oh, fuck. All right, put your Nifflers back in the box.
Everyone come and help me. Check every orifice.
Don't worry, I'll obliviate you all afterwards.
Oh, good. All right,
then. Ha-ha, now your fingerprints are all over this. And Hagrid's in, like, the interrogation room. And they're like, okay, so you expect us to believe 14-year-olds killed this woman very violently, it seems, and buried her in your back garden. And he's like, yeah. Oh, you had nothing to do with it. How could we have video of you doing it? You recorded it yourself.
It's on your YouTube channel.
Okay, today's so on Hagrid's house. I show you how to dispose of a body.
Dumbledore's delivered another one.
This one I'm going to keep intact just so I can give you a good demonstration. Shallow graves, you see, that's the key to it. Shallow graves and fill them with potatoes.
Good fertilizer, buddies.
And Hagrid's like, that's not me. Oh, God. What is wrong with us?
Oh, anyway. Christ, I don't know. So Harry's watch is broken.
Yeah,
right?
I put, why isn't Harry repaired his watch?
Why is Harry's watch not magical?
Well, if you got it in the Muggle world.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was probably like a Dudley hand-me-down, because he hasn't been bought one, has he?
He's still got his watch from...
I reckon it's probably like then. A proper, like a standard, like a Casio watch. But then I guess it wouldn't work, because it's electronic.
Yeah, they're so electronic, they run on battery, don't they?
Yeah, so I guess it would have to be like...
What's like a clockwork watch that you'd have to wind up? They're proper old.
Well, it would have to be that, wouldn't it? Because a normal battery watch just simply wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work, yeah.
And I doubt But would
a clockwork watch like that break from being underwater?
Yeah, I think it's not necessarily just been underwater, it's the depth that they were at. So yeah, Harry's watch is just fucked. And I'm like, you fucking know spells to fix this.
You know spells to fix it. If you don't have a magic watch, why not?
Yeah, also, I'm sure there's like a magic spell you can do that tells you the time. Where you're like, time occurs. And you just hear this voice going, on the third stroke.
The time, sponsored by Accurist, will be.
See, that was odd. So Hagrid has put coins in the dirt and everyone has to take a Niffler, and the person who's Niffler's the person who has the Niffler that returns with the most coins.
Fuck me.
You fucking say it.
The person whose Niffler finds the most gold.
There we go. wins, what are they? Oh, they win a fucking massive slab of chocolate.
Big old slab of chocolate, and he sees either Crabbe or Goyle trying to pocket a load of the gold at the end, and he's like, don't try nicking any of it. It's leprechaun gold. It'll disappear after a few hours.
Yeah, and I was like, well, how long has he had it then? How long does it last in general? Because he would have had to have
it. Where did he get it? Has he got a leprechaun in his cabin?
Oh my god, he's so high. He's like a cage. So I've always wanted a pet Irishman. He just takes it out, like smacks it on his ass, and gold just pops out. He's like, right, I need enough to fill a whole garden, we do. By the end of it, the leprechaun just fucking like a bloody mess. That man is so horrendous. And then, so after that, no, so all during it, Harry finds Hagrid and he tells him about what happened to Hermione. And Hagrid's like, oh, we're sorry. I got hate mail too. Just tell her to ignore it all. And
yeah, well, it's where they stay behind at the end to help put the Nifflers back.
Ah, sorry.
And yeah, Hagrid tells Hermione not to worry. He got loads of those letters.
Oh, yeah, because she shows up, didn't she, halfway through with bandaged hands.
Towards the end of the lesson with bandaged hands, yeah, from the hospital wing. Yeah, and he tells Hermione not to worry about it. He got loads of those letters when Rita Skeeter wrote the article about him as well. It's just, you know.
Yeah, but he seems remarkably, like, cool about it now, considering how fucking messed up he was.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's a bit... Okay. Really, you're just regurgitating the advice that Hermione gave to you in the first place.
That's true.
Yeah. So they leave Thingy, Care of Magical Creatures, and Ron's all moody. Then he's like, why didn't you tell me, Harry? And Harry's like, what? And then he's like, about the gold, about it disappearing. And Harry's like, what? And then it's like, the gold I gave you at the World Cup, I thought I was paying you back. You shouldn't have got me that Chudley Cannons hat. And Harry's like, oh, I guess I didn't notice. I was too worried about my wand. And everyone's like, oh, it must be nice having so much money that you don't even notice when a fucking couple of galleons have gone missing.
Yeah.
And Harry says something in response, but I can't remember what he says.
Yeah, Ron's just like, I hate being poor.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
And it gets a bit awkward.
Yeah, and they're all like,
shit.
Well, Harry, I owe you some money, Ron.
Harry just takes his, like, God puts his gold chalice under the table.
Harry tucks away his gold chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt really sorry for him.
Yeah. The letters carry on arriving. Hermione is determined to figure out how Rita Skeeter's listening in on private conversations.
I didn't understand why the school doesn't screen letters or why she couldn't ask them to.
Yeah, they really should.
Yeah, considering what fucking arrives in the post in general at this place, someone should just be like checking everything or like opening everything and like, you know.
Yeah. Get house elves to check that there's no anthrax in the envelopes or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. Just be like, all right, guys, some of you might not make it out today.
You're disposable.
Yeah. But it's all right, you'll do it in service. It's what you love, right?
Yeah.
They're like, well, I guess so. He's like, good, good, good. All right, I'm going now. I'm going to seal the room. Anyone who's still alive in 5 days, I'll come and give you a Kit Kat.
They get a reply from Percy. It says, Mr. Crouch is taking a well-deserved break, as I keep telling the Daily Prophet, but is sending in daily instructions, and of course I recognise his handwriting. Don't bother me again unless it's something important. Fucking wanker.
That man.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be like that at that age, I don't feel, anyway.
And they arrive with, like, Easter eggs from Mrs. Weasley.
Hold on, I think we should talk about, just because we glossed over it, about, you talked about how she wants to discover how Rita's overhearing, but she explains about the bugging and thing and why magic, why electricity doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where Harry's like, maybe she got you bugged.
And then Ron's like, what? And then Harry explains to him about microphones and shit, and Ron's like, fucking hell. And Hermione, like, gives a speech about, oh, guys, like, have you never read Thingy-a-Thingy? Hogwarts History, yeah, and they're like, no.
You know it off by heart, yeah. So we just ask you.
And then she's like, magic goes haywire around... No, not magic goes... Well, I mean, it does go haywire. Electricity goes haywire around Hogwarts because there's too much magic in the air, so she couldn't be doing that. So she must be using another way. And then she sort of gets all like, about it all.
Yeah. Percy's letter arrives with a load of Easter eggs from Molly, and she's only given Hermione a little tiny one. Mm. And Hermione's like, does your mum read Witch Weekly by any chance, Ron? He's like, yeah, for the recipe. She's like, oh... I thought, what an actual fucking despicable human.
I mean, yes.
That is awful. I hate her now in a way I didn't before.
Yeah, also, like, why bother sending Hermione anything at all if you're going to be that much of a bitch about it?
Yeah.
And why would... You've met her. I guess she doesn't know her.
Well, Hermione has stayed at the Burrow for prolonged periods of time.
I guess so.
I reckon they know each other well.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, yeah, it's weird that she would believe
exactly
an article from a woman that openly disparaged her husband as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that is just fucking Molly. I mean, Molly's just... She's such a... Just imagine her at it, home, like, fucking it, like...
Borderline doesn't actually make sense that she thinks badly of Hermione because of that article.
I think it makes perfect sense. It really fucking... I can imagine her sitting at home, she's fucking like eating like treacle from the pot. Sitting there in her fucking favourite armchair, like her fucking reading glasses on, going through the Witch Week, and she's like, I always fucking knew it about that Hermione. And then so she fucking starts wrapping the eggs and she's like, Reducio. Nobody opens it and, like, etched inside it just says, you're a gun. Oh, did your mother read it?
Hermione some brings Harry down to the... Asks Harry to come down to the Quidditch pitch a month before the third task.
No, McGonagall. And you said Hermione.
Did I?
Harry's like, why is there no one else here? And who are those bald men?
They've got tattoos matching that thing you carved into Ron's head.
I love their Doc Martens, though.
Anyway, the beginnings of a maze is there. Harry and so Harry meets Cedric on his way down. They're like, oh, what do you reckon it's going to be? I don't know, mate. And then they get down there and they kind of look in horror at the Quidditch pitch.
Yeah.
Bagman turns up and he's all like, oh, don't worry, you'll have your Quidditch pitch back to normal after the end of the task. Give it a month, Hagrid will have these bushes up to 20 feet high.
Well, one of you will have your Quidditch pitch back.
You know what I mean, Sed?
Dead Sed? It's like, what? Never mind.
Yeah, you'll see. You'll see.
Oh, I've got a big bet on you, I am. Not on whether you survive, but on how many times your dad will say, my boy! Yeah, so they get told about that. And they say that you will each get like a head start based upon how many points you have.
Yeah.
But you each have like an equal chance of winning.
Well, you'll each have a fighting chance of winning.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Because, you know, if depending on how well you overcome the obstacles that are inside and everything. So that's all good. And then Crumb comes up to Harry and he's like, can I have a word?
And Harry's like, yes.
A what?
Popsicle. There we go.
Ah, thank
you. And Crumb's like, yes, 7 o'clock. Well done, Harry.
So basically, yeah. Crumb fucking takes Harry over to the forest to interrogate him about Hermione.
Yeah. Which I thought was, I liked that about him.
I mean, you know, I think Crumb's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, he's got quite a lot of valour.
Yeah, especially for a Durmstrang. We all know what they're like. And Harry's all just like, no, you know, she's a friend. And then Crumb feels better and tells him he's a good flyer and they start fucking jacking each other off about Quidditch for a bit. And then there's a disturbance in the trees.
Yeah. And then he looks over and he sees Barty. And yes,
he's ragged, scraped and filthy, raving to himself, talking to a nearby tree, addressing it as Weatherby.
Yeah, he's like, Weatherby, please make sure you send a correspondence to blah, 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 blah. Then Harry's like, mate, are you all right? He's like, yes, my son got 12 AWLs. Yeah, but very, very satisfactory.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, Dumbledore, must find Dumbledore. Terrible things. Done terrible things.
I've done a very stupid thing. Yes. He's like dribbling and insane. He's like, who are you? You're not his.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Voldemort's? I don't know.
I always see things like this when someone says something crazy in this book. I'm always wondering, is that like a prophetic thing that we find out about later?
Mm.
If I can't think now. Then he's like, what? Look, I'm going to go and get Dumbledore. And then he's like, terrible things. Must be Dumbledore. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to go fucking find him, mate.
Yeah, and then he tackles him and he's like, don't leave me. Don't leave me here. The Dark Lord's getting stronger. Bertha's dead. It's my fault. And Harry's like, mate, to Crumb. Fucking help out, would you?
Yeah. Crumb's like, sit on him. And Crumb's like, what? So I just want to take a photo. I'll get like so many followers.
Victor Crumb and Barty Crouch.
Yeah. So Harry fucking like runs off.
Yeah, he leaves Crumb to look after Crouch. Can't get into Dumbledore's office though, can he?
Yeah, and then fucking Snape appears.
Starts being a cunt.
Yeah, and then Harry's like, I need to speak to the headmaster at once. And Snape's like, the headmaster's indisposed. And Harry's like, no, it's really important. And Snape's like, no.
It's actually quite irresponsible of Dumbledore to, if people do need to speak to him urgently.
Yeah, we should have like an intercom at least.
Yeah.
You go like, brrr. And he's like, hello. And Harry's like, oh, I've got a thing.
Yeah, what's that screaming I can hear?
I was like, I'm watching a film. Oh, which one?
What?
I gotta go. Bye.
But yeah, after Snape's just like fucking toying with Harry because he can see he's desperate for something and he's an absolute wanker. And then Dumbledore just emerges from behind him. Like,
yeah, and then Harry does like a Michael Jackson slide out to the side.
Just in front
of Snape. And he's like, Dumbledore, I got a problem. And the Dumbledore's like, ah, yes, my favourite entertainer.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, then Harry's like, fucking Mr. Crouch is in the forest. But Dumbledore's like, lead the way.
So, yeah, they fucking hottail it down to the forest and they get there and Crouch is gone.
Yeah, and Crumb's fucking in the woods, like a little bit.
You're going to say like a little bitch. He's in the woods like a little bitch.
Yeah, he's sort of like laying there like the fucking, like the witch did at the start of Wizard of Oz. Like his legs just like sprawled out front of the thing. And then Dumbledore's like, he's been stunned.
Yeah, Dumbledore shoots something silvery out of his wand. He awakens Crumb, who says that...
John's like, what is these droplets on my face? And Dumbledore's like, yes, always works. Except when it doesn't.
Snape's got some pills for that, though. Yes.
And worst case scenario, Hagrid's got a spade. So... Oh, God. And then he's like, what happened here? And he's like, Crouch, he attacked me from behind. Dumbledore's like, oh, really? I'm sorry. That was so cheap.
I could see it coming.
I know. I didn't, actually, until it left my mouth. Which is, I've said that before, Tom.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was in there.
It's hard to see anything coming when it's inside there. Right, yeah, so the...
Hagrid arrives.
Yeah, fucking like bounds down the fucking field, I guess.
Yeah, got her as soon as I could. And then Dumbledore sends Hagrid to go and get Karkaroff. And he goes to send Harry to get Moody, but then he's like, no need, Dumbledore, and Moody's already there.
Why couldn't he just Patronus Moody as well?
Fuck knows. Karkaroff arrives and is bloody furious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do all the things he says. Don't do them. That'd be weird.
Don't know. I can't remember what he says, but he
says like, treachery. You first invite us here under the guise of magical companionship and all that jazz. And then you put someone else in the tournament. And then now you attack my champion. You, sir, are a fucking pig die, and then he spits at his feet. Then Hagrid fucking grabs him, shoves up against a tree.
And enters him.
Shoves up against his tree, presses his mouth to his. It's like, oh, I like it when they get roadie, we do. Go on, show me your khaki pants. Now he's like, you fucking apologize, you. Dumbledore's a great man.
He's a great man.
And Dumbledore's like, Hagrid, release him. And Hagrid drops him in and Karkaroff like crumples to the floor.
Yeah. And then Dumbledore sends Hagrid to take Harry back up to the castle, basically. And he says, go straight to the common room, Harry. Anything you want to do, any owls you might want to send can wait. And it's like, just at that moment, Harry had been thinking about he would have to send... Is it sending out to Sirius to tell him about this? Yeah.
So they start making their way back up to the castle and Hagrid's like, fucking what the fuck were you thinking? Rotting around the grounds with fucking Crumb? He's a Durmstrang, Harry.
Yeah.
Can't fucking trust the foreigners. Fucking lawyers, there are a lot of them.
And ask Hermione, she'll tell you.
Yeah. She gave me this wonderful book.
Chapter 29, The Dream.
The trio talk about what happened.
Yeah, they're all speculating on what might have happened the night before. Then my next note is, they're in the howlery discussing things.
I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah, they go to the howlery to message Sirius and the twins arrive at the same time.
Yeah, the trio are still speculating on what's happened the night before. And they hear Fred and George arriving saying, no, that's blackmail. We can't do that. I'm telling you, it's bloody blackmail.
And then they come in and then everyone's like,
What?
And Ron's like, what are you doing here? Ron and George say, what are you doing here at the same time? And then...
And then Harry and Fred say, sending a letter.
Yeah.
And then Hermione and George say, well, this time.
Yeah, and then they're like, and then one of the twins goes, I'll tell you what. Yeah, you guys.
Yeah, we should hang out more. We have a good back and forth.
And then one of the twins is like, I tell you what, you don't tell us what you're doing and we don't tell you what we're doing, do?
And they're like, fine.
Yeah, okay.
But then Ron's just like, who are you blackmailing?
Yeah.
It's like, no one, Ron. It was a joke.
Yeah, like, guys. And then they kind of the next day rolls around.
Yeah, Ron reckons that they're blackmailing someone to try and get gold to start their joke shop. And they're like, oh, they wouldn't do anything illegal, would they? And like, well,
I don't know. He's Fred and George.
Fred and George.
They are a bit, you know, that kind of guy.
Rumbunctious.
So they go to History of Magic. That's boring as usual. Then they go to Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Well, they catch Moody between lessons. Or they catch him after a lesson or something.
It's one of those two. And I wasn't sure which when I wrote it down.
Yeah.
So I just didn't.
They catch Moody in the corridor at some point. He asks them if they found Crouch.
No, it's definitely in his office. I remember that. Or in the classroom.
Okay. Yeah, somewhere. It would be somewhere away from people, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so he says, no, they didn't find Crouch. He's like, did you use the map, though? But he's like, yeah, I took a leaf out of your book, Potter. Fucking summoned it from my office, didn't I?
Yeah, and then Moody's like, look, you guys, I know you guys fancy yourselves like amateur sleuths or whatever, but don't go investigating any of this. Harry, you need to just focus on the task, okay?
Constant vigilance, Potter.
Constant vigilance.
I lost it when it got to that bit in the audiobook. So I can't separate it from... That being the name of his deceased wife.
Harry's like, why do we start crying when you say that? And he's like, oh, it's a very long tale. No, sit down. Here's a flip chart I prepared earlier.
The flip chart. The friction burns. The combustion.
The diesel engine.
Sirius, yes. They get a reply from Sirius?
Yeah, basically telling him what Hagrid said, just don't go wandering off with anyone anymore, especially anyone from Durmstrang.
Yeah, and Harry's kind of indignant about being spoken to like that, especially from Sirius, the amount of rules he broke and everything.
Harry
and...
needs to remember how fucking old he is. He's 14.
And Harry needs to remember how old
he is. Yeah, and these are grown-ass men telling him, like...
Ass men.
Yes.
Men who have grown their own asses.
I mean, we all do.
Yes, I'm a grown-ass man. Harry's practicing stunning spells for the third task.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. Which meant certain sacrifices on Ron and Hermione's part.
Mostly Ron's.
Mostly Ron's, from the sounds of it.
Yeah, because he keeps on missing the cushions.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, if you just landed on the cushions, you'd be fine. He's like, well, it's fucking hard to land on something when you're unconscious. Why don't you ever go? And he's like, oh, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God.
They go to divination then, and it's super hot and stuffy.
Yeah.
Because summer's coming on, Trelawney's prattling on, and Harry starts to drift off, and he can hear an insect gently humming behind the curtains.
Yes. Beetles don't make noises, do they?
Couldn't tell you, mate. I'd have thought if it was a human in the form of a beetle deliberately trying to be conspicuous, they wouldn't make noise.
You mean inconspicuous?
Yes.
Yeah, and then the heat and the breeze and the pills he took earlier just starts to kick in, and he's just like,
pfft. He's riding on the back of an eagle owl towards an ivy-covered house on a dark cliff top. Or
yeah, something. I wondered if that was a thing.
Is like, it not the Riddle House that was at the start of the book?
Oh, I don't know. Is it? That would make sense.
I assume so.
Yeah, because I guess that's where Voldemort still is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But then maybe he would have remembered it from his. I guess that was almost a year ago. Well, 9 months ago.
I don't know.
Man. I don't know. Anyway, there's a bloody snake and bloody worm tails there and bloody Voldemort.
Yeah, and Voldemort's like, ah, well, luckily for you, the matter has been taken care of.
Yes, your blunder has not cost us much, Wormtail. He is dead. I think I shall give you one more reminder why blunders shall not be tolerated.
My Lord Voldemort. And he's like, crush you! Like,
yeah.
And then Wormtail's like, ah, and then no, before that, he's like, sorry, Nagini, you will not, I will not be feeding Wormtail to you tonight. All right, here, have a bucket of KFC instead. Look, it comes with some special gravy. Hmm, what's this?
the plot thickens. then, yeah, like, he crucios Wormtail, and then Harry fucking comes around.
Yep, his scar searing with pain, lying awake on the floor of the classroom and his scar still burning. And Trelawney's all like, oh, well, what did you see? This is a prime opportunity for Vision.
Yeah,
Vision
focus, shit. Harry. Tell me what you saw. And he's like, oh, I didn't see anything. I've just got a headache. And she's like, no, you were rooting around screaming, saying your scar was hurting. If you leave now, you may lose the chance to go further than you ever have before.
Harry doesn't give a shit and he insists on going to the hospital wing.
He's like, the only thing I fucking want is a headache cure. Good day. And then you're like... Every time I say that, I just imagine that they like speedily fly out of the classroom.
I imagine them saying it in a doorway, holding a door, and then say, good day. Mine's less magical than yours, though.
I mean, it depends what happens when the door slams.
Yeah, sparks fly out. There we go.
Yeah. So yeah, he doesn't go to Madame Pompom's. He goes.
No,
to...
he has no intention of going to the hospital wing. He's going straight to Dumbledore, as Sirius suggested he do if his scar ever hurts again.
Yeah.
He gets back to the bloody gargoyle and still doesn't know the bloody password, does
he? He's like, ah, oh, fizzy wisby, lemon sherbet, dead hooker. No, he says like fizzy wisby, lemon sherbet, fruit pastels,
Skittles. Taste the rainbow.
Opal fruit. I mean, fucking Starburst.
Licorice all sorts.
Yeah. There the gargoyle's like, ugh. Yeah.
They're a recurring thing on this podcast for some reason.
And he's like, fuck, what can it be? Cockroach cluster.
And it springs open.
Oh, is that on that one?
Yeah.
Oh, of all the ones.
I know. And he's like, cockroach cluster? I was only joking.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. And he can, and he gets closer to the door and he can hear Cornelius Fudge's voice saying, we just don't see the connection, Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Didn't you say that it was, that it all happened around the Beauxbatons carriage?
Oh, yeah. And Madame Maxime.
Yeah, well, you know what she is, don't you? And I was like, yeah. Like, I'm a what? You think? Fudge is like, you're a what? Yeah.
I'm a wizard, Fudge.
And Fudge is like, no. Am I a wizard too? That's what this bit of wood is. I thought I just had a fucking huge splinter. That's what all the red sparks were about. It explains why my wife is now a frog. Oh well, still best hell I've ever had.
You didn't have quantum vigilance, says Moody.
And Fudge's like, oh, didn't I?
Constant.
Fudge's like, yes, remember the great fire of 62? Fudge's like, yes, I remember I was in the Emirates at that time. Oh, God. Fudge's like, ah, yes. Many a man had constant vigilance about that time. Here I am.
Okay.
Oh, God. I hope I make you guys laugh as much as I make myself. Oh, fucking hell. Okay.
Also, because I laugh silently most of the time, when I listen to this back, it does just sound like you're cracking yourself up constantly and I'm just sat here waiting for you to stop.
Sometimes, because I'm like never like looking at you when I go to a fit, so whenever I look up, Tom's just like looking at me sternly. So oftentimes I just think that you haven't laughed and I'm just like, oh, well. Yeah, and then Dumbledore's like, I don't suspect Madame Maxime for a second. Then he's like, Judge's like, well, they're not all as friendly as Hagrid.
Yeah, don't you think you're a little prejudiced just based on what you know about Hagrid? He's like, I think maybe you are the one who is prejudiced, Cornelius.
Yes, as well as a fourth year that I've had reason to believe. Maybe killing some of our students.
Yes.
I think she's the one who opened the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah. He says, Ludo says Bertha is perfectly capable of getting herself lost with no reason to suspect foul play. And as for her disappearance being linked to Crouch's, well, it's probably nonsense. Crouch is probably just finally cracked. He's gone insane after all the years of suppressing everything that happened and he's wandered off. Dumbledore says he would have to have wandered exceptionally quickly if that's the case, Minister. And then Moody says,
yes, he was an Olympian. Yeah. 100 meter dash.
Ah, well, that makes sense then. Thank you, Alastair. Glad you're here.
And then I was like, what? He's like, nothing. And then I was like, it's okay, I heard you. And I heard her too.
Oh, God. Dumbledore, where were you around the Great Fire of 43?
Just watching. I had my own fires to tend to. Oh, God. And then Moody's like, Dumbledore, there seems to be a...
Can we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Potter wants a word. He's just outside the door. Chapter end.
Alas. Ear candle. So, thank you for listening to this, what might slightly be a horrendously violent episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah. Also, oh, I think more so than usual this episode, lots of jokes that rely on having listened to previous episodes to understand.
Yeah,
So, you know, just go back and listen to all of them.
Yeah. If you don't know what's going on, then make it so that you do. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you've had fun, because we certainly have.
Yeah, it's been lovely, isn't it?
Please check us out on Instagram at Poorly Read Pod. Check us out on Twitter at Poorly Read Pod. Email us all your thoughts and suggestions and things like that at poorlyread@gmail.com. We've had a ton so far. We're hoping to get round to sort of like addressing some of the things we've been sent soon. Because some of them have been super, super interesting.
Yeah, they definitely have. And we have been promising that since the beginning of the podcast. Yeah, I know. Maybe it was, I don't know, maybe between 4 and 5. Or we shouldn't put a time on it, because who knows.
Yeah, when a day comes that you hear it, know that it's probably because we couldn't be bothered to listen to the chapters that week. Oh, God, but please do write in. We do try and get back to everyone who sends stuff in. It just is taking us a little while. There's a lot to go
through. Yeah, it might just take a little while to get through.
But we love and appreciate them all the same. So, yeah, please come back next week for some more thrilling adventures from Harry Potter and the Hot Cup. I've been Gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid. Yeah.